Praise the Lord that His love is greater than all of our fears. Perfect love cast out fear, His word tells us. I'm thankful for each one here tonight and thankful for the beautiful songs that encourage us. We're able to worship God together. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you would like to stand as we read God's word together. 2 Timothy 3, and then I'll be going over to Romans 10. Begin in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3 and read down through verse 2 of chapter 4. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 1, chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then in Romans chapter 10, begin at verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you that, Lord, and I know that many of us here can say this, that from a child we were taught the Holy Scriptures. We have had the blessing and the privilege of learning the things of God from a young age. And Lord, not only hearing, but seeing the life lived before us. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being called of God, to know that we are called to be your children. We're all called to be witnesses, to be ministers of our God. I pray that you would bless, anoint your word tonight for your glory. We ask for your anointing and help in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, as we open our hearts to God's word, I'd like to consider what may be a little different subject to some. Maybe somebody think that as I get started that, well, this message, Brother Chris, it would be better for a group of preachers, a pastor's conference or a seminary class, something like that. But I hope you'll realize tonight that this God's word is for all of us. Amen. So many things that pertain to this, the scriptures that we could have read, I won't. It's a big subject. But I'd like you to think with me for a moment about what it is that we are doing right now. I mean, this, not just having a worship service, but I mean right now. This time in the worship service where somebody gets up and with a message from God and they stand and declare the word of God. They preach. What is the preaching of God's word for? What's it about? Why do we have this time in our services, in the Christian church at least? What is the purpose of preaching? Why don't we, as Christians do, as many other religions, and go through forms of spiritual education that do not involve preaching? Why don't we focus everything on group discussions and individualized study of church creed and all kinds of things that are done by different spiritual leadership. Why is preaching the Word of God so important, especially in the history of the New Testament church? And the biggest question, the most important thing, why did God himself ordain it? See, that's part of the answer. It's a question, but we're here tonight because God has ordained through the preaching of his word to save the lost, to edify the church, to and many things that I'll touch on tonight. Excuse me. But I ask those questions to, not that I'm going to take time to answer everyone in detail, but to get us to thinking in this direction. I'll be honest, it's not a subject, after preaching for quite a few years, that I've ever just stopped and asked myself. I never studied. Why do preachers preach? What is the purpose of preaching? He said, Brother Chris, what's this got to do with us? There's only two or three preachers here tonight. No, it has a great deal to do with all of us. Amen. For one thing, we all, as children of God, are to receive the preached word of God. Amen. That's what you're doing tonight. On another hand, we are all Christians are called to be ministers of God, witnesses for Christ. We are, whether it's ever getting up behind a public pulpit, we are with our lives to preach the word. We all are to be ministering the word of God, whether it's across a pulpit, excuse me, whether it's a Sunday school class, a junior church, a small group study, whether it may be family devotions or at home or one-on-one witnessing to somebody, but we're all called to minister the word of God. Amen. And so it's not just a sideline issue. It's so important that we understand what this is about, why God has called and ordained the preaching of his word. I apologize. Now, I've had these thoughts on my mind for a few days, and I even asked the Lord. I said, Lord, is this really a message for the congregation, or this, you know, but I ask him if it is, and I do it often, if things are on my mind, because I'm human and things can get on my mind, and I ask the Lord, if it's not your will, if it's not what you want, then please take it off my mind and heart and you know, give me something else. But every time I would pray, I would just keep being drawn in. So I want to share what the Lord has put on my heart tonight, because it is God's word. It's important. It's very significant that we understand why. Several decades ago, a man, some of you may not remember, know his first name, but you certainly know what he did. A man by the name of George Gallup. You ever heard of a Gallup poll? He's the man who pioneered public polling, for whatever it's worth. He knew as much about how American society thought and functioned and so on as you know, a lot more than most people. And after decades of pioneering this industry of public polling and finding out about American society, evidently, and I didn't look at all his background, but he was a man with some church background, he made this statement, and I could not get away from it. He said, never before in the history of the United States has the gospel of Jesus Christ made such inroads while at the same time making so little difference in how people actually live. It's a mouthful, but did you catch that? Never before has the gospel gone out like it has in recent generations, while at the same time making so little difference in how people actually live their lives. When I read that, I thought, Lord, that's what I've been saying for a long, not in those words, but it's what I've been believing and saying for a long time, knowing that we have more avenues, more resources of getting the word out, preached in so many other forms, and yet the word is doing so little to change people's hearts and lives. And as I was contemplating that, thinking, how has it come to this? How can this glorious message of the gospel that we know has power to change and transform lives, how can this message be proclaimed and yet have so little effect on people's lives? The Holy Spirit reminded me that one of the main reasons is because far too many preachers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, they've lost sight of the purpose of preaching. Maybe never knew it in the first place. Too many preach without a real purpose. And when you preach without purpose, you preach without power, without anointing. See, there are a lot of preachers, and probably anybody who's preached has wondered this at some time. Because if you've never preached, I'll just tell you, it's not something magical. We don't, you know, look up at a cloud and say, oh, it's that verse this week or anything like that. We have to seek. We have to seek the Lord. And sometimes we wonder, what am I going to say? Some preachers wonder what will sound good. And those are the wrong questions to ask, because we ought to be asking, what does God want to be said, and why am I saying it? What is the purpose? Now, you know, if you study, read God's word much, that from Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, to the Old Testament prophets, to John the Baptist, to Paul, and we could keep going on, they always preached with a very definite purpose in mind. They didn't get up to just tell stories and play games. They preached with a purpose. And I'm just going to, I won't have time. This is I say it often, but I mean it. It's a big subject, and I don't stand in any way to try to convince you that I'm going to thoroughly cover it. But I want to help us tonight to understand, I hope, a little better. It's helped me to be more focused and to understand why God called me, why God calls men and women to preach the gospel, and why we all, as ministers of the word, need to understand these things. Now, the first, just three things very quickly. But the first reason is so that we might apply God's word to our own life and our ministry. Amen? I'm preaching tonight, having gained in my own heart, but tonight so that you might receive it and apply it to your life and to how God is trying to minister through you. You're going to talk to people this week about Jesus. You're going to minister God's word. You're going to be living the word out, whether it's with words or not, is not my point. But you're going to be presenting God's word, and so you need to receive it and let the Holy Spirit apply it to your life. Secondly, I say this so that you'll pray more for preachers. They need prayer. I mean that. I'm not playing games. We need prayer. I said it often, told young preachers, told my son, you can do anything else but preach, do anything else. Preach when you can't do anything else but preach, when God says preach the word. Because you are going to be under the attack of Satan that many Christians have no idea. So pray for the preachers. I pray, part of my prayer list is for many, many ministers of the gospel in our community and in our fellowship and things, because I know as one that they're in a battle. But above all, we preach so that God might be glorified in Christ as the message of Jesus is proclaimed to needy souls. That is the ultimate goal of preaching, to glorify God. Now, as I was gathering, and I know that you say, boy, it's a large scripture, we'll be here all night. Well, we could be, but we won't be. I won't be so very long. I was just putting together a lot of scriptures. I mean a lot, because preaching is mentioned 141 times in the King James Bible, and that's just the direct references, not talking about even one that I read tonight in Timothy. At least those first several verses. A lot of verses talk about preaching that doesn't say specifically preach. But as I was thinking about these, the Holy Spirit just gave me a brief outline that I hope will help you as it has helped me to understand the purpose of preaching. why you sit and listen, why we prepare as preachers, why that God calls you to, with your life and your ministry to preach the word in whatever way that God allows you to do that. And those three points are, and I'm just, we'll be going, just touching them quickly. It's to inform, transform, and conform. I'll put it in a sentence. The purpose of preaching is to inform so as to transform, that we might conform our lives to the image of Christ. You see, anyone who knows anything about Scripture, you know there's two or three scriptures come to mind quickly that agree and state this very explicitly. That the ultimate purpose of God in calling us, redeeming us, and making us His children is to what? To conform our lives to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate purpose of salvation, to make us like Jesus. Now, when I mention these things, I don't want you to go away thinking, oh, we've got, you know, no, this is not some all-inclusive list. It is not. It's too big a subject to try to do that with. Nobody can get, we cannot get our minds fully around it in a few moments tonight. But what this can do, I hope, and will do, is to help us to understand and define what it is that we're doing when we come to services. And we, you know, we're not just here to try to get through, suffer through another message. We're here to receive something from God. We're here to be informed so that our lives can be transformed, so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. I don't try to think up fancy little three-point things. I don't even, you know, if you've heard me preach much, I don't try to go through two-point, three-point, five-point sermons. I just try to preach what God gives. But sometimes if we get a few words in our mind, it can help us to know what we... Sometimes when we're... Because this is not just a preacher up here publicly. It's about you trying to witness one-on-one. It's about standing before that class. It's about leading that group. It's about leading your children in family worship or family devotions. You've got to understand what we're trying to accomplish in getting God's word across. See, I've read a lot of very incomplete answers. Some people say we're just there to impart biblical knowledge. Well, we are, but never only that. We're there just to explain the Bible, yes, but never only that. One of the rules that have been so important in my life and ministry, I never read it. God just put it on my heart. But I've told my son, I've said it publicly, but that is information without application is a waste. I absolutely believe that, and every time I preach or bring a lesson, whether it's before hundreds of people or whether it's teaching two or three kids in a youth class or little kids class, and I've done all of that, it's to get the information that God's given across. Why? So that it might transform lives and bring us into a conformity to the image of Christ. And you say, Brother Chris, why don't you just, if God's goal is to conform us, why don't we just forget the other points, just start there? Because God has us all, and God draws souls through a process. God doesn't do cookie-cutter religion. He doesn't, like some church people try to do, some denominations, a lot of Church of Gods have tried to do, probably some of us here have tried to do. We try to get people conformed to our ideals. You know, you're going to go in, get into our church, our denomination, and to be accepted by us, you got to jump through hoops like we do. You got to go through our form. And we try to conform them. God doesn't do souls like that. He doesn't stamp us and ram us through. And the Holy Spirit, we've said it many times, He is gentle. Amen. And so we cannot in souls, dealing with souls, because God does not, His word does not. We cannot take a sinner and say, we need to get you conformed to the image of Christ. He's going, huh? You got to get some information in his head You've got to bring him to a place where he understands he's a sinner in need of a Savior. You've got to bring him to that place where by faith in Christ his heart and life can be changed, saved. He can be transformed before he'll ever start having a desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a process, and we all ought to be glad that God is so patient with us in this process. And I'll just say one of, because there's so many things that could and need to be said, but one of the things that needs to be kept in mind about preaching, because you're going to be doing it this week, as I said, in some form or fashion, it's to keep in mind what God wants, and that's always what is needed. Those are not two different things. What that audience, what that group, what that soul needs at that moment is what God wants. It's what God wants and what they need at that moment. It's what that audience needs at that moment. Sometimes a lot of believers have, in their grasp of truth, they try to take truths and they just, you know, beat people with it. Well, it's not the truth they need at that moment. And they hurt people rather than help them. That means that we have to be, say, Brother Chris, how do you know? That means we've got to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. We've got to be led by the Spirit. We don't go out armed with you know, this scripture, that scripture, this is what everybody I run into today needs, and boy, I'm going to hammer it home. No, you will hurt people and drive them away. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. Because that soul that you're trying to reach and with a zeal for God you want to win to Christ, the thing that they need that day may not be some scripture pounded in their head. It may be that they need your love. It may be that they need to know that you care for them. Amen? We've got to be sensitive to and led by the Spirit. So first of all, preaching is to inform, but never to just inform. It is to convey the knowledge and understanding of God's Word, but that is never an end in itself. Oh, that the modern ministry would realize that. That every teacher of God's Word would realize that. Information is never an end in itself, not spiritually. A preacher is to get the word from the Lord, from the very mouth of God, as it were. But he doesn't get it just so that he can have it. He gets the word from the Lord, why? So that he can convey it to souls. So that he can convey it to minds. It's got to begin here. Remember, it comes in. We listen. Faith cometh by hearing. It begins hearing. Convey it to minds so that the Spirit can convey it to their heart. Amen. And so in this first step, this first stage, preaching is to reveal truth. And when you reveal truth, of necessity, you expose error. Amen? And there's a lot of things that happen with that. We, in giving the information that souls, we're not just here to expel. I love to study on creationism, and there's a few things that I don't talk about as often because I want always, and there's a definite application for those truths. I love that subject, and it has tremendous application. But when you begin to reveal truth, you are going to also shine light on error. You're going to identify sin. You're going to dispel illusions that people have lived under. In revealing truth, one of the things that the preaching of the gospel is to do is as Ezra did. When you remember in the book of Ezra, when he read the law, it said, then he took time and he gave the sense of it. He explained how the word applies to our lives. Amen? He wasn't just telling context, history. He was giving the sense of how the law of God applies to the lives that we're living. Preaching is to instruct in righteousness. That means that we are, as the priest of old, to show the difference between the clean and the unclean. We're to tell people what God says is right. And I know there are those, oh, if we would just, you know, I've heard it. If we would just focus on the positives, well, God's word does both. There is negative in this world. It's called sin. And so we reveal what is right. We reveal what is clean. But as doing that, you've got to reveal what is unclean. You've got to talk about sin. You've got to explain man's condition and his need. Now these, you know, of course, that these some of these points that I'm making are sub-points or underneath these three main points, that they of necessity roll into one another at certain places. Preaching is to show, and this is, make sure you hear this in the way, is to show the relevance of God's word. I read one that said it's to make God's word relevant. Well, Brother Tony, it's not my job to make God's word relevant. When God spoke it, he made it relevant for all generations. My job, our job is to show the relevance of God's word to our lives, to this generation, to the day, the moment we are living in, to every situation we ever face in our lives, God's word is relevant. Amen? That's part of the purpose of preaching, to show that. We don't have to scratch our heads. Oh, you know, that Bible's written so long ago and it's out of date, and how do we make up? People say, I want to update. You don't need to update God's word. It's always up to date. And then there is no more important information than simply telling people that a Savior has come. Telling people about Jesus. That there is hope for the sinner. Amen? But having said that, that is part of information. But having said that, let's understand also, because I'm going to go right into point two. We're not only preaching to inform. People go away, you know, happy because, well, I learned stuff today. That's how a lot of people leave church. Well, I learned something new today, the preacher told me. Well, hallelujah. I hope when you leave here today, when you left this morning, you leave tonight, you forget that Brother Chris was preaching and you say, I'm leaving and the Holy Spirit is writing something on my heart that's going to help me to live better and help me to minister God's word and be a better witness. Amen? And so the purpose of that information is to transform, which means that preaching is to call souls to faith in Christ, to see hearts and lives changed, to see men and women born again. Amen? But now the reason I paused on that last point talking about Jesus, I want to say this. The message of a Savior means nothing until a person knows they need a Savior. This is one of the problems with evangelism. They've flipped God's process backwards. They come in blazing, you know, tell them about Jesus. He died for you, he saved you. They're like, what for? I don't care. I mean, this is the world. God did not start out that way. Do you know what God gave first? The law. Why did he give the law first? Because until we knew we needed a Savior, until the law identified us as sinners, separated from God by our own sinful rebellion, until we knew, convicted by the power of God's Holy Spirit, the information had come to us that because of your sins, you separated yourself from God, you're going to a lost eternity. Before that gets through to the heart, the message of the Savior means nothing. Because we don't need it. You don't think you need him. I've said it before. You know, that's like going to the guy on the beach and saying, I'm here to save you from drowning. In his mind, he ain't got nothing to be saved from. But when the law comes, it drags him off the beach and it puts him out there in the depth. He's wore out. He ain't got a life preserver and he's going under. That's what the law does. Shows us where we really are. And then you come and say, There is a Savior who with a mighty arm will reach down for you, who died and shed his blood upon Calvary's cross so that you could be rescued. That's why God gave the law before the gospel. It is why a very important part of preaching, and you that come around here, you probably think, man, you harp on this part a lot. But a very important part of preaching that has been neglected in this society is to warn. It's to disturb. It is to bring conviction to needy souls. You catch what Paul told Timothy? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Exhort, that doesn't mean to get up and say happy thoughts. Exhort means to strongly urge, to do your utmost to persuade men. That's what Paul said on several occasions. He said, we persuade men. We're preaching is to persuade lost souls to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their sin and rebellion, and to turn to Jesus, to persuade men to turn from your pride and selfishness and submit your will to the will of God. Submit your life to God and to His rule and authority over you. That is part of the purpose of preaching, dear ones, whether it's to 1,000 people or to one person, to persuade men. And men will not be persuaded until their condition is revealed. Men cannot be inspired to place faith in a God that they think they don't need. Amen? Faith comes by hearing the preached word of God, but there is a process. See, I don't think that God had me bring this message just because I'm the only one that needed it. I do. But I think that we all need it. We all need to know how to minister God's word. But having preached and called people to salvation, having seen the response of souls that come and yield their heart and life to Christ, dear one, our job's not done. See, we're not just calling men to get saved from a life of sin. We're calling to make them new creatures. We're calling so that their entire character and thinking can be transformed. To renew their thinking. We're calling them from a selfish, a secular view of the world to a biblical worldview. Now that goes right into this last point, and I'm just about done. Remember, we inform so as to transform. Why? So we get to God's ultimate goal, so that lives might be conformed to the image of His Son. Some people think, well, that's what heaven's for. No, that's what this world's for. That's what this world's for. Part of the purpose of preaching is to encourage souls towards spiritual growth and maturity. That's what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, unto a perfect man. The man of God may be perfect, mature. And that word is used often. Maturity. To encourage people to grow in grace. In Christ-likeness, not to settle down, not to become content where you are. To far, far too many, the vast majority, that dear ones, they whatever their ideals of salvation, where they got in the gate at is where they've camped out all their life. Now, I won't go into all that. I've not come to harp on all that. I'm just telling you, dear ones, part of the preaching, purpose of the preaching is to encourage souls that where you got in at is not where God wants you to stay at. that you're to be pressing on, you're to be advancing, you're to be growing in grace, you're to be growing in your spiritual life and your walk with God. You are to be advancing towards spiritual maturity. We start out with the milk of the Word, but we don't stay there forever. Someday I'm going to do like Brother Chick Wilson used to do back in Kentucky. He was an old retired evangelist. He could get by with it. 80 years old. He'd come to preach, filled in from time to time. He'd put a bottle, a baby bottle right there, because I still remember him preaching it. Bottle babies in the church of God. That was his message. You don't forget those kind of messages. Well, wouldn't he be surprised today? Anyway, I didn't come to beat on nobody tonight, but preaching is to encourage us to maturity. Preaching is to edify, build us up. As Paul said in 2-3 places, to confirm us in this most holy faith, to get us established. Preaching is to comfort, to strengthen, to equip for ministry. And if you can look it up, get your concordance. I'm just scratching the surface tonight. But I will tell you tonight in closing that God's purpose in our ministries is not like, well, I'm done with this, and now go. No, the reality is we will always be informing so as to transform so that people might be conformed. It'll always go on. See, because even though some of you have been serving God longer than I've been alive, but you still need the knowledge of God's Word being imparted. God's still doing a transformative work in your life, my life, our lives. Why? Because He still wants to conform us to the image of His Son. Amen. We're not there yet. Now I'm going to cut it off here, but I want you to understand, you ever wonder why? Above all, why? Why are we doing this? It's because God Himself has ordained the preaching of His Word. It's not because, you know, Brother Chris couldn't get a better job. It's because God ordains and calls preachers. Preaching the Word is for the good of souls and for the glory of God. We're all going to minister God's Word because it is our call in some form. Let us inform so that we might transform to see lives conformed. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand. Father, thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, even though we wonder, we marvel that You have chosen, as Paul said,